That's the popular Chinese song Waiting for You, recorded in 1997 by Peng Liwan, the First Lady of China. This unusual celebrity First Lady of China and her husband, powerful Chinese President Xi Jinping, will be meeting President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania at the glitzy Trump compound Mar-a-Lago. This is the first meeting between the world leaders. Will it be all summit-level pageantry? Or will there be some awkward moments in Mar-a-Lago? With all the tough talk on trade during the campaign, that phone call with Taiwan in December, conflicting signals from the White House on North Korea, breaking the ice here might be a challenge. According to Isaac Stonefish, a journalist and senior fellow at the Asia Society's Center on U.S.-China Relations, this summit might feel a bit like the comedic awkwardness of a familiar sitcom.
The really main thing you can get from a high-level summit like this is trust. And the two leaders are going to feel each other out, and they're going to sense whether or not Trump, for example, can trust Xi to help with some of Trump's schemes on fixing the trade imbalance. And Xi can gauge whether or not he can trust Trump to be less assertive towards China's policies in Taiwan or towards China's relationships with Japan and other countries in East Asia. So they have this very delicate dance. And if it turns out that they dance very well together, it's going to be a lot smoother for both countries in the region and the world. It's sort of like in Curb Your Enthusiasm when Larry would stare at someone's face and he would just see whether or not he believed them. I feel like there's going to be a lot of those moments.
Awkward moments then.
Yes, awkward moments. But maybe, you know, Larry or Trump will stare in Xi's face and decide that, hey, I believe this guy. I trust him.
Is Xi Jinping powerful because he has a vision, or is he powerful because he's done really, really well with the party apparatus?
I think that's a great question. I think Xi has been so successful less because of his vision for China's dream, for prosperity, for China returning to the center of the earth. You know, literally in Chinese, they call themselves the middle country, the country at the center of things. Mm-hmm. Rather, I think it's because he's a brilliant bureaucratic infighter. He's emerged as of now, seemingly because it's a very, very opaque system, but seemingly he's emerged as a pretty confident leader who's seems to have a pretty firm control of the reins of the party in the state.
What face will Donald Trump put on his view of international trade? The derailing of the Pacific Trade Agreement during the campaign benefits China.
It benefits China hugely. Trump campaigned on bringing the jobs back to America. And I think he's going to push for two things. One is a way to start restructuring the trade imbalance between the U.S. and China, which most economists do not feel is a problem. But Trump in his bones really feels that that's hurting America's workers. And second, I do believe he's going to want to be able to have some superficial announcement showing how he brought jobs back. A week later, Trump might tweet, I convinced Xi Jinping to take XX step, and now this factory is going to reopen, or 10,000 jobs are going to come to Iowa. I'm the greatest.
That's his dream. Do you think he'll get it?
I think he'll be able to announce something. My worry is not that he won't be able to do that. I think that's quite easy. My worry is what he gives up for that.
Taiwan and Hong Kong, are these points that Trump will address in any way? And are these issues that are dogging Xi Jinping?
I don't think Hong Kong's going to come up in this summit, but I would be surprised if Taiwan doesn't. It does seem that Trump is aware of the value of Taiwan as a negotiating chip. You know, he had that unprecedented phone call with Taiwanese president in December. And I think the Chinese are nervous that he's going to next week announce a major weapons package sale to Taiwan, or that he's going to say something after the summit which will seek to change the status quo with Taiwan. So I think the Taiwan question, of any of the questions they're going to discuss, is the one in which I'd most like to be a fly on the wall in that summit and just to hear how the two men negotiate it.
Reportedly, President Obama said to Donald Trump as he was coming into office that North Korea will be the most important issue and crisis in the early days of your presidency. If that is the case, and if Donald Trump believes it, can they see eye to eye on North Korea?
I think the United States has an amazing amount of leverage with China towards North Korea, because the country that loses the most if or when North Korea collapses is China. China has to deal with hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing across the relatively porous border between the two countries. It has to deal with most likely a unified Korea with 28,500 or potentially more American troops on China's border. And it has to deal with resurgent Korean nationalism. So China doesn't like Kim Jong-un any more than anyone else in the world does, but they appreciate the country's existence as a buffer state. What the two sides agree on is they want denuclearization of the peninsula. They don't want North Korea to have nuclear weapons because that's not useful for either of them.
A little late for that.
That cat's already out of the bag. Yes, indeed. But I think what the United States is doing is it's trying to raise the cost for China of having North Korea in place. So the U.S. has this great excuse of putting more troops in the region because of North Korea. And if China wants U.S. troop withdrawals, they need to do something on North Korea.
Isaac Stonefish is a journalist and senior fellow at the Asia Society Center on U.S.-China relations. Thanks so much, Isaac.
Thanks for the great questions.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.